B3. Number 6B.
So Mrs. Eddy defines here by taking Webster's definition of that time. When you look up Webster's definition of our time, you don't find that definition anymore. It's no more mind capitalized. What a pity, huh? What a pity. See? And she said, yes, an idea is an image in mind. Now, if I look at into the universe with the human mind, I also see an image. The whole universe appears as an image in the human mind. See? But we see material objects with that human mind, whereas the divine mind cannot see material objects. So what can it see? It can see everything as idea. Is that clear as a starting point? Why do we see things through the human mind? Because the human mind is limited, and the human mind relies on the five physical senses. And so the human mind, through the five physical senses, have always a limited concept of what it sees. There's always a material concept of what it sees. The human mind sees the universe materially objectified. Well, if we turn this around to the divine mind and say, what can I see with the divine mind? Then the divine mind says, I can only see spiritual things. And these spiritual things are what? They are ideas. They are not matter. They are ideas. So ideas take the place of matter. Is that clear? Instead of having matter objects, matter identities, I have spiritual objects, spiritual identities, and these are called ideas. Because they have their origin in the divine mind, they are have the nature of the divine mind, they are unlimited, they are eternal, they have no space nor time sense in it, they are actually perfect because they are not limited in any way. So we arrive really at the term that the universe consists of ideas, that the universe does not consist of material objects. What are these ideas? That's usually then the next big question that the student asks and says, well, I can also repeat that statement that ideas are an image in mind, but he usually then says, what are they? How do they look like? Huh? What is their nature? And there always comes in that difficulty that we want to see the nature and the form of ideas through the human mind instead of and human thinking instead of through the divine mind. So an idea is always an image in the divine mind. Therefore, the universe consisting of mind ideas are therefore the only universe, and that universe I can only see if I go out from mind. But how can I go out from mind? So now I ask another question. I just tried to ask all those questions that the students should ask and will ask for themselves. And so I say, well, I cannot go out from the divine mind if I don't understand the divine mind. If I would go out from the divine mind without knowing what the divine mind is, it would be a mystical concept. It would be an indefinite concept, Therefore, in order to see the image in mind, I must first understand mind. And therefore, the second definition, that an idea is the immediate object of understanding. Of understanding what? Of understanding the divine mind, divine spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So we have here two different definitions, that once it is an image in mind, but from the human standpoint, idea is the understanding of that divine mind which reveals us ideas. Which then shows that this term understanding is the very first term in this whole translation of immortal mind that begins to build a bridge to the human, to man, to us, I would say, to us, because we understand. The quality of understanding is from God, but we understand, and therefore it's the immediate object of understanding. So that's the very first term that shows now the translation of mind, the immortal mind, knowing ideas, to us, to mortals. You know how Mrs. Eddy says, Christian Science translates God to mortals. And to mortals, but at the highest point where we understand God. So whatever we understand about God is of the nature of idea. It's the immediate object of understanding. Therefore, what have we ever done? We have therefore said, in order, therefore, that an idea is an immediate is the image in mind, I first have to understand what mind is. And so we began to study what mind is by letting the textbook tell us what mind is, what mind's image is, and learned it first in an objective way from the textbook. And said, what are the ideas of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth, and love? But fundamentally, that text was a revelation from God. That fundamentally that was an image in mind that God had and revealed itself and translated itself to a text. So through understanding the text, understanding what the seven synonymous terms mean, we have an understanding of that, what God knew, what God dictated. We have an understanding of the ideas of God. So, in this way we can see that in the future, the moment we understand the seven synonymous terms, we can go out from mind, and we have that first definition that an idea is an image in mind. If we go out from mind and look out from mind, we only see ideas, infinite ideas. This brings us to a further point, namely that Mrs. Eddy never speaks of idea in the plural when she speaks about God and Christ, that God has an idea, that the Christ is the idea of God, and so we speak about the Christ idea. We never speak about the Christ ideas. We always speak about the Christ idea in the singular. And so we speak only about the idea of God in the singular. The moment we speak about the ideas of God in the plural, we mean something else. When we speak about the ideas of God, we mean all the infinite identities of being that constitute man and the universe, or universe and man. These constitute of ideas, of identities of being. And we'll see when we come then to the fourth chapter that then she introduces that point, that idea that the identities of being are ideas. But something else is when we speak about the idea in the singular, which cannot be put in the plural. And that is something else. That's really the Christ idea. What does that mean? That means that the divine mind has an idea. That the divine mind has an idea compared or in distinction to what we have here, that ideas are an image or that ideas are identities of being. What does that mean, that God or the Christ has an idea? That means that God or Christ has a set goal. Has a set goal. And he has a set goal which the Christ is going to fulfill. And then we speak about the Christ idea, or we speak about that God has an idea. He has something purposed, has something in view, has some aim in view, some goal in view, which God wants to attain. So it isn't an identity of being. Here, idea is not an identity of being. It is a whole activity of translation, whole activity of achieving something. And therefore, when we speak about the Christ idea, we know that Christ idea includes quite a few processes. It includes, first of all, that the divine mind conceives of a purpose. The very fact that the divine mind conceives of a purpose, of an aim, of a goal. Not that we conceive of an aim or a goal. That the divine mind wants to achieve something. Not we want to achieve something. You see, so it includes that the divine mind conceives of a goal, but not only that, that idea, that Christ idea, also is the very processing of that conception. The Christ says how he is going to fulfill that, what has to be put into process and into motion in order to attain that aim. And furthermore, that the Christ is achieving, that the Christ idea is achieving that aim. So that the whole process of conceiving, of processing it, and of finding a fulfilled status, a fulfilled aim, is all the Christ idea. That's why we have to be aware of that difference. How does that apply in our human existence? For instance, take your life, your whole life, and you say, what I'm here for? What is the purpose of life? What do I have to do on this world? Why I'm here? On these very fundamental questions. I'm just here to go along day after day in the old way, in the old ruts, just living, just existing, hoping that I live a bit longer, and then finally I will see there is an end and finished. Is that life? Is that the purpose of life? Is that the goal of life? Is that the aim of life? Can you see? I ask about the purpose, the meaning, the aim, the goal, about the idea of life. So, at that point, I begin to realize, well, if God is the creator of men, then God has an idea for my life. He has not ideas for my life. God has an idea set that he said, I'm going to do with that person or with that man this and that and the other. That's the idea behind his life. And so if we rely on the Christ idea all through our life, always rely on the same Christ idea, not on other ideas, but on the Christ idea, then I say to myself, God has set the name for me. And the Christ is going to translate that through all my life, through all the stages of my life, so that this idea that God has set is going to be fulfilled. And I feel that my whole life is governed by the idea. Is that clear? But in order that the Christ can fulfill its idea, can fulfill the goal that is set out for me, he uses all the ideas in the world, all the infinite ideas. He uses the ideas of creation, of creative ability. He uses the idea of leading and of guiding. He uses the idea of substance and supply and fruits and unfoldment and evolution. He uses the idea of identifying, of joy and balance and sinlessness. He uses the ideas of principle, of government, of system and science. He uses the ideas of life, of exaltation, of multiplication, of spontaneity, of the newness of life. He uses the ideas of truth, all the ideas of consciousness and dominion and manhood and stature of manhood. He uses the idea of love, all those ideas that they are helping, guiding, helping, nurturing, cherishing the idea, mothering the ideas. You see, in order to bring out the idea set for my individuality, the Christ idea can use all ideas. Yes? And that is what we have to see here in the translation, that the Christ says, I translate myself to the individual man and give to the individual man a purpose. I have an idea set for everyone, an individual idea set for everyone, an individual mission set for everyone. And this is the idea that God has in mind. That's the image that mind has in mind. And therefore, the Christ is going to fulfill that through the translation, using for that purpose all the divine ideas in the world. All the ideas. He is not using matter, body, a material universe, a material purpose, a material aim, a material inclination. He only uses ideas to fulfill the idea set by God. Is that clear? You know, it may not be clear. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The main thing is that you begin to think about it. And think about it and be aware that actually Mrs. Eddy does never say the Christ ideas or the idea of God. She said the idea of God, not the ideas. Yes, she said the ideas of God, but then she means something else. Huh? At once something else. What is the practical implication in this case? I love that whole subject terrifically, because this is by what I live. I don't live by the sense that I have a life before me and that I'm going to do the best I'm going to conceive, the best I can imagine, because that would be an image in human mind. I would set the goal myself, humanly. And so a real go-getter does that. He sets an aim, humanly, materially, and says, I put everything into this idea, he says, into this conception, so that I will be successful in it, that I will achieve it. And the very opposite is what we should entertain. That we should entertain that sense that God has set the name for us, and that the Christ is going to translate that to human existence. That's the Christ idea at work. And so I have a feeling that the higher authority than me is telling and defining what is my life purpose, that the higher authority than me knows what is my life purpose, that the higher authority than me has set me in this world to fulfill a purpose which I do not know at the beginning, which I have no knowledge of. If you would have asked me as a youngster what I will do in my life, well, I would have said I want to be a good railway man. And so I began to start to be a good railway man. Never was a really good one. I was not too much interested in it. But that's how you start with a human conception until things don't work anymore. Until you bend your knees and say, as a youngster, no, not what I have in mind, not that image should be fulfilled. I see that God has another purpose. And you submit yourself to a higher purpose. And if he had asked me at that time what that higher purpose would be, I would have said, I don't know. I have the faintest idea. The only thing I knew that I wanted to study the textbook. And that I took every 3 minutes to study the textbook. Or even to take the textbook into the station and study the station when I should be caring about the trains that was passing by. That was not a good thing, you know. That's a very dangerous thing. So I thought I better get out of that business. I have to follow that what is foremost in my heart, not secondary. That can be very dangerous. But if you had asked me what I will fulfill in my life, I certainly wouldn't have had the faintest idea, and certainly if somebody would have come along, say a nice spirit that would come along and say, look here, your destiny will be that what you are what I have now actually been doing, I would have said, humbug, get away, huh? That's not true. And yet I did it. What defined that? The Christ idea. Not the Christ ideas. That doesn't exist. There is one purpose for every individual. For every individual has its Christ. Every individual. And that Christ comes in an individual way to each one. And therefore that's the Christ idea working out that individual aim. And naturally we work out that easily, more harmoniously, without much friction, without much struggle, if right at the beginning we use scientific obstetrics and begin to see that idea for which I have been destined to come into this world is really thought out, is really the idea of the Christ, and I adjust myself to it, and I do not restrict myself with a lot of material and human conceptions. Then the idea that comes afterwards, the idea can be brought forth, and its birth will be natural and safe, and it will be a blessing. So, relying on that great intelligence and great force which the Christ is, that reliance on that will bring forth within us our true destiny, our true mission. And gives us a sense that there is a higher intelligence and a higher purpose and a higher power at work than our little human brain that tries to think out an ideal situation or an ideal mission or an ideal life. If way back in those years I would have asked myself, now dream out the biggest you can think out, I would never have been able to think out something as big as I was doing in my life. Never. Just impossible. The Christ idea is much bigger than every human conjecture. So I was at that time constantly working with obstetrics and could see that only in that way we really have a chance that we are transparent, that we are transparent for the Christ idea to shine through our lives. That's the divine reflection. That's what Mrs. Eddy calls idea, as an image in mind, as that what the divine mind has set out to do. That's the idea. What the divine mind has set out to do, what the divine mind has purposed to do with me, that's the Christ idea. Yes. Okay, so we have done the first translation, and so this afternoon we'll go on with the second translation and the relationship between the first and second translation.